done it. All right. So we're continuing in the series of the I Am statements of the Lord Jesus, going through in the New Testament and then with some also contextual discussions. This morning we're in John 10, and we've just been discussing the I Am the Light of the World passage, the I Am the Door passage, and today we're going over I Am the Good Shepherd. He is the Good Shepherd from eternity past. He's our present Good Shepherd, and He will be our Good Shepherd into eternity. Let's open in prayer. Our gracious God, Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for the opportunity we have to come together this morning, the opportunity we have to hear Your Word, and I pray, Lord, that as Your Word goes out, that it would be Your words, Lord, it would be not the words that I will have written down on these pages, that I would have to speak, but Your words, Lord. I pray that in everything that is said and done this morning, that You would be glorified, that You would speak into our hearts, and that You would be magnified above all. I pray these things in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. So in John chapter 10, in verse 1, says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go out and find pasture. The thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. I came that they may have life and to have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is hired and not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, I have authority to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father." There was again a division amongst the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, "He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?" Others said, "These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" In this passage, we have a significant portion of text, but all this text draws around the theme of the Lord as the Good Shepherd. He was the Good Shepherd before he declared that he was the Good Shepherd. And the text leads into this in a number of ways, including in a passage in the Old Testament. In Ezekiel chapter 34, which you don't have to turn to, there is a number of verses from 2 to 6 that discuss how there were irresponsible shepherds in the world. Irresponsible shepherds that had been given a charge over the sheep of Israel and had ultimately represent irresponsible shepherds who were given over us as sheep. And these shepherds would go and feed themselves. They would eat the food and clothe themselves, but they wouldn't take care of the flock. They wouldn't strengthen the weak. They wouldn't heal the sick. They wouldn't bind up the broken. And they would not go after those that had been driven away. They lost, they didn't seek after. And the sheep were scattered without a shepherd. But in verse 13 and 11, to the end of the passage, we see an image of the good shepherd. The good shepherd that would feed the sheep on the mountains, valleys, and places of Israel. That would cause the sheep to lie down in the good folds, feed them in rich pastures. That would bring back which was driven away. That would bind up the broken, strengthen the sick, and destroy the fat and the strong. That God himself would seek after these sheep. And that he himself would come to look for the scattered flock. As background to this passage in John chapter 10, we had a number of circumstances where the Lord Jesus revealed himself as the Good Shepherd once again before declaring that he was. That when the woman was caught in adultery and she was brought to him in John chapter 8, he was alone of authority to cast the stone against that woman, but he didn't because he had come to bind up the broken. The Pharisees rejected Jesus' claim that he was the light of the world, but he had come to reveal the Father, and they did not recognize that he and the Father were together, that they were one. And in the acknowledgement that Jesus made that him and the Father were one and that he was the light of the world, the Pharisees only sought to destroy. They wouldn't acknowledge that they were the irresponsible shepherds. But Jesus, who was the responsible shepherd, the good shepherd. Then he declared that he was the I Am from eternity past. He was and is God and will continue to be God. He was come, as we had in our passage, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. And so he immediately revealed himself, after revealing himself as God to the Pharisees, as the good shepherd that had been prophesied to Ezekiel, that was written down in our text. And as he turned away from the Pharisees after declaring that he was God, he revealed himself in action. He saw the blind man sitting outside, a blind man that the Pharisees would have had access to his entire life. This man was born blind, and immediately he came to heal those that were sick. And as he went about and revealed himself, he healed this man, and he brought this man onto himself. And the man went out to declare that he didn't know who Jesus was, but one thing he did know, that he was blind and now he saw, and that any man from eternity past had not been healed when he was born blind. And he recognized in what had been done in his own life that he had been delivered, that he knew that the Good Shepherd had come, and he only wanted to have a relationship with this Good Shepherd. But the immediate reaction, once again by the Pharisees, was to cast him out. And he knew this. He knew that the Pharisees were going to potentially excommunicate him and his family. His family wouldn't acknowledge the fact that God had come down because they didn't want everyone around them to know exactly what they were declaring. Because if they declared this, they would lose everything that was comfortable in their lives. All of the religious favor that they may have had, the ability they had to work in the society, would be taken away because the Pharisees, the irresponsible shepherds, did not want another shepherd to be in existence. They only wanted to continue to feed themselves and to continue to bind others in servitude to the spiritual slavery that they had acknowledged. However, the blind man knew exactly what had happened in his life. And there was nothing else that he could do except when he was cast out after declaring that if this man were not from God, he could do nothing. The Pharisees cast him out, and the first thing that happened was that Jesus came and found him again. He had been cast out by the world, and Jesus came to bring in his scattered flock because he had a new sheep and he wanted to take care of him. This morning, I'd like to discuss something in the context of the folds of our own lives, that each one of us has a spiritual fold that we live in as a sheep in this world, that a fold or an enclosure, a corral as you might like to picture it, of a fence or a wall that we have built up, that as a sheep, I have my grass and my stream, my fence around all this, and that is my existence in my world. And what I long for in this world is to just keep taking care of everything that I enjoy inside my own little world. That those things that I have brought into my world to satisfy, oftentimes many good things, family, happiness, health, careers, hobbies, are all good things. And he longs for us to enjoy all these good things. But there's something missing. And the thing that is missing in our own little world is the Good Shepherd. And many times we've had situations in our lives that has caused us to build up high walls. The thieves and robbers that are alluded to in our passages that come to kill and to steal. And irresponsible shepherds, those who have led us astray, those who we put our faith in and have not been able to satisfy our needs, who have not been able to lead us out beyond our own little world, our own little enclosure. So we built up high walls, and we've established ourselves, and our corral of our life is too small. We can't expand it. The walls are there, and we continue to eat the grass down as sheep do, all the way to the dirt, so that there's nothing left. We trample it. We drink the water, and it becomes muddy. We stomp around, and there's nothing left except our filth for us to waddle in as a pig would. But we stand there, helplessly as sheep, wondering what went wrong. And that is where the Lord Jesus comes in. He doesn't have to, but he knocks on our doors. There is, in all the enclosures of our world, the moving of the Spirit, regardless as to whether or not it is of the Spirit in a life without the leading of the Lord Jesus as the shepherd, or a life with the leading of the Lord Jesus. We are exposed to the sun, the wind, and the rain, the elements, and the Spirit is moving in all these situations. And he is living in those of us who know the Lord Jesus. He is living in our lives. But for those of us who may not know the Lord Jesus, he is still there. The Spirit is still at work. He's still moving in some way, shape, or form in order to get our attention. But the Lord Jesus is the shepherd. He stands at the door and he knocks there. He doesn't have to, because he is the shepherd from eternity past. And he knew us before we were created. Before I came out of my mother's womb, he knew exactly who I was. Everything about me, every good and evil thing that would happen in my life. So, as the Lord of my life, he should immediately be able to come in power and to take control and lead me as he wants to, but he doesn't. He knocks, and he comes through the door, as was discussed over the last couple of weeks, in the Spirit and the shepherd potentially being the door. But he comes on in, and we as sheep just kind of meander around. But he calls. And what happens when he calls? Do I know him? Do I know him as my Savior from eternity past? When a shepherd calls, it isn't a call that can be mimicked. When I know the shepherd's call, the one who has intimately known me from eternity past, it is immediately recognizable. A shepherd grows up with his sheep. They don't generally buy a sheep when it has already been someone else's for years. And our good shepherd, who knows us from eternity past, we know his voice because he has known us and he has always been there. He has always been there in existence. So why is it that I wouldn't acknowledge him? As a sheep, oftentimes a shepherd will call and we'll raise our heads and we'll look. But he wants to lead us on out, as we saw. He wants to call to us and lead us out of our pastures. But too often, even in my own life, I'm happy to just look up and say, here I am, and put my head down and keep eating what's not even there anymore, what I've already trampled in my own life, those things that I brought into my life that I think will satisfy, but they're not. They're not satisfying, and he wants to bring me on out of this because he has something so much more beautiful. When I am around my shepherd, I don't feel fear because he's not an irresponsible shepherd whose voice I don't recognize. I don't feel fear because he's called to me from behind me. Before he opens the door, he makes his presence known, and I'm aware, and I'm happy because his presence denotes his power, his providing, his protection. Do I long to hear this call in my life, or am I just looking and waiting to enjoy my own things, and then when I feel that I really need him, I call out with an SOS bleat that I would call out when I need wisdom for a particular decision, or when I need his healing, or when I need something else, when I could always just acknowledge the fact that he's there. When he is my shepherd and he is continually leading me, I don't have any fear of these things because he will take care of me. Some of the shepherds that really care for their sheep, they know them intimately, and they don't just pick out a sheep from time to time to check to see if it has a parasite or to check to see if there's something wrong with it, with their hooves. He will go and he will feel each sheep as they lead, come into the pasture, and he'll make sure that they're okay because he cares for them. He's cared for the one that just went to before me, and now I come on up and I have this feeling, oh, he's not going to take care of me. He's taken care of me every other time, but this time I'm just going to keep walking on through and he's not going to check to see if there's anything wrong. He's not that shepherd. He is a shepherd who cares for everything that is going on in my life. He was a shepherd who cared when I had my first seizure at 17. And he is a shepherd that still cares. Here I am, months later, after having surgery for my epilepsy. He doesn't want us to be left in sickness. He doesn't want to leave us in our own cramped corral in existence because he wants to lead us out to a fuller existence. He longs for us to fellowship and to feed on the rich pastures in the world that he has provided. And these rich pastures are not just opportunities for us to enjoy ourselves, but that comes along too, because he leads us out into opportunities of service and spiritual growth. He leads us out onto the mountains of the world where we can feed on the rich grass, where we can feed on the grass that is filled with the dew of the morning that will satisfy our thirst and leave us spiritually filled for the day ahead. He leads us out to opportunities of service, as we were listening to already this morning, that we can fill our lives with and bless others with. If we're not being led out into these opportunities, if we decide, no, Lord, I'm fine. I'm just going to stay here in the corral. I'm going to keep eating this kind of dirty grass and enjoying the water that I've filled my life with, we're wasting our opportunities for a fuller and more complete existence, something that he has longed for us to have from an eternity past, where we can enjoy our time not only in close communion with our shepherd as he leads us out, but in making him known to others and demonstrating the love that he has in his life to all those who we come into contact with. There are opportunities in those good things that we have filled our lives with for us to demonstrate the love of Lord Jesus, for us to demonstrate his love to our family, to those we work with, to those who we come into contact with during our different health concerns, and to those who we meet on a day-to-day basis. But there are more opportunities, too, that he longs for us to search out, that we would find those grasses that we can use, that we can eat and thrive off of, and in so doing, be able to spend more time giving back to him. Because not only does a sheep eat the grass, but it also gives back to the earth. It allows, through walking on the earth and through providing what comes out after you eat grass to the ground, it makes the fields healthier. And the fields become better and more equipped for the next sheep also to come along and enjoy that grass. But the ground will give off a better growth. And in so doing, by going on out and leaving our own fold, we can be a blessing to the world. And that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be leaving West Bank or the Lower Mainland, going overseas. There are opportunities for us to be a blessing across the street, everywhere we go. That is encouragement for my own life, a convicting thought, but one that we are called to do, and we have an example of our Lord Jesus. Do we know that shepherd and follow him? The blind man said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know, but one thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see." I can say that I know that he wasn't a sinner. I know that he was very God. And one more thing I do know, that once I had epilepsy, and now I don't. Because of the surgery that he carried me through, he has been my good shepherd, and he wants to be our good shepherd. In every situation that we are found in our lives, he longs to be there with us, and he longs for us to give him the opportunity as we are led out by him into the safety, security, and protection that he provides. Do I love others more than myself? Do I love the Lord more than myself? These are questions that I would ask you to really consider in your life. Do I follow the crowd or stand out for Christ? When sheep huddle together, they generally get picked off one at a time because they just keep huddling, stupidly knowing nothing as to how they should act. When a bear comes, they get hit one after another and they just stand there not knowing what to do, when they should run. And then when a bunny jumps out and scares one of them and he runs, everyone runs after him. They're fleeing in the wrong situations and standing still when they should be fleeing. Do I know how to act? Do I know as the blind man how to act when it is that people come and they ask me as to what it is that happened in my life? Do I say that, well, it just happened? Or do I give God the glory, because to him alone is all the glory in our lives? Do I insist on my own rights? Or do I humble myself for Christ? Do I sit in the lower place? Do I stand for what it is that I deserve? Or will I be willing to sacrifice myself for others? Do I accept my circumstances? It's tough to accept circumstances. When I was 17 and just about to try and get my driver's license, it was really tough to be told, "You can't drive. You have to wait." It's a tough thing to be told by somebody. But do you accept those circumstances? I know I didn't right away. It was not an easy thing. But eventually, you can take a look at the examples that we had before us, because the Bible is not left us without an example. We not only have the example of Lord Jesus, but we have the example of other terrific apostles like Paul. 3 times I prayed for this to be removed, and I know that I prayed more than 3 times for this to be removed, and it was left in my life. I don't know why it was that he chose not to take it away at that time, but he instead chose to take it away through surgery. There was something else, I believe, that he meant to strengthen me or to strengthen someone else through the circumstances that he brought into my life, and he knows because he is my good shepherd. It's something very difficult to accept, but it's wonderful when you can, when you see his working in his hand above everything else. Do I insist on my own will in my life, or do I look to comply with his will in my life? In the Lord's Supper this morning, we heard a verse, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." It was the Lord Jesus talking of whether or not he would go to the cross in that garden. Do I look to conform my life to the will of the Lord, or do I want my own way? There's only one right answer to that question, and I believe that the answer should be obvious, that it's his will that we should be looking to conform our lives to, not my will. It's difficult too, though, because there are counterfeit shepherds and hirelings in our lives, people who we look to follow and we get our hopes built up into, but really, our eyes have been taken off of the right shepherd. In all those circumstances, if I am putting hope and faith and trust in anything, whether it be family, friends, other people fail. I fail. But the Lord will never fail. And when he is your shepherd, when you trust that the Lord Jesus is the shepherd of your life, we can, like the blind man, recognize who it is that I should be putting my faith into. That I don't need to be putting my faith into my parents, even though oftentimes my parents are making the right decisions for me. I don't need to be putting my faith and trust in the friends, in those around me who are making the one decision that everybody seems to be making. But I can know exactly what it was that was done for me and stand out as the blind man did. And then the shepherd will come along and lead us out. In the door of our lives, there is a beautiful illustration. If we come inside the door of our sheepfold, where the shepherd sits there and protects us, we have that protection. When the children of Israel came and they were called to go inside during that Passover meal in Egypt, they had to go inside the door. The blood of the lamb was sprinkled on the doorposts and on the mantle. But once they were safe, they couldn't stay inside because God had called them into a fuller existence. He had called them out into the promised land, and he was longing to lead them. They couldn't stay inside that one dwelling. He was not only the door and the safety and the security against that awful wrath that was being poured out on their behalf, but he was also a leading hand that was looking to take them into a greater and fuller existence where they could be a blessing. And he is looking to do that in each of our lives. He's looking to lead us on out, not only of the protection that we have and the beautiful security we enjoy because of the precious blood that was spilt on our behalf, but that we can also be a blessing and that we can enjoy a fullness and relationship with him because we've gone out. The sheep are the constant preoccupation of the shepherd. They are not just left alone, as I mentioned and alluded to earlier. The sheep are cared for. He does not leave us off on a mountain and come back to us after believing that we can take care of ourselves for a period of time. He is there. He is with us this morning, and he is in each one of us in the form of the Holy Spirit who know him. And if you know him this morning, you can know that he is with you, and he is amongst us today. He is always taking care, and will continue to take care, because he is our good shepherd into eternity. Love was the very fabric of the Lord Jesus when he came into the world. In our last verses in this passage, it discusses how he loved the Father and the Father loved him, and that the Father loved him because he did the will of the Father, and that he laid down his life for the sheep as a good shepherd would. And this gives us a beautiful example as to how we are called to act for those around us. Not only fellow sheep who we walk and we follow the shepherd with, but those who may not be yet of his fold, that we are to be his love demonstrated to others in this world, that we can love them so much that we will be willing to sacrifice ourselves for them. The essential component of love is missing in a hireling. The hireling doesn't bear any cost when the shepherd loses a sheep under their watch. The hireling can happily enjoy his time and move from one thing to another, but the shepherd cares when there's a loss. And because the shepherd cares when there's a loss, he longs for there to never be a loss, because he loves his sheep and he has known and loved them. There's a beautiful picture of this in Eastern Africa, where a group of shepherds in the Maasai region, they grow up with their sheep from little children all the way to adulthood, and they take care of their sheep as they grow. And when a sheep is attacked by a lion, these little boy shepherds, little girl shepherds, will stand between the sheep that they have grown up with, their friend, their constant companion, and the lion, and they will be savagely mauled. They will sacrifice themselves so that the lion will not get the sheep, so that there will not be a loss, because they care more about that sheep than the potential loss that they would feel. And time again, these shepherds have been mauled, and they have had to recover in hospital, and there have been losses, but they continue to do so, even in the face of what can potentially happen. Even knowing these stories of other shepherds who have been hurt and mauled, they will stand between the lion and the sheep. And that's what we're to do. That's what the Lord has called us to do. We are to stand for others when the lion comes. We are to be not the hireling that runs away and not the thief and the robber who only cares about themselves. But we are to be an image of the Lord Jesus on earth, that we are to be good shepherds in our own right, and that as he is our constant good shepherd, we can be an example to others as to how we are to not only follow him, but to nurture those around us. In Revelation 7, there's a passage of Scripture, Revelation chapter 7, verse 13, that lead us into the end of future good shepherd. I'd just like to read those verses this morning. In Revelation 7, verse 13, it says, "Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?' I said to him, 'Sir, you know.' And he said to me, 'These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes.'" He was a shepherd in the past. He's our present shepherd. He's my shepherd. He's my good shepherd. And he will continue to be our good shepherd into eternity past. May the Lord bless these to you this morning. Let's close in prayer. Our gracious God, Lord and Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come and to die for us, that he came and he died, and that as a good shepherd, he was willing to sacrifice himself on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, that he has not come to destroy, that he has come to heal, and that he has come to build up. He has come to bind our wounds and to seek us from every corner of the world. I thank you, Lord, that he has not just come to one group of men, but to all men, and that through this you've called me, and that you call us all, Lord. I pray in thankfulness that you have these opportunities for us, that we can go out into the world and be your light, that we can feast on the bread of life and grow spiritually, and that we can continue to walk through the door knowing your security and be led out to the rich pastures that you would have us to be in, Lord. I pray that in all things you would be glorified. In the precious and peerless name of our Lord Jesus, I give you thanks. Amen.